Yesterday, Pamela and I took some time off to go to the Dallas Zoo with a couple of friends and their two little girls. My goddaughter Emma, and her sister Isla. And so we spent the day at the Dallas Zoo, where every parent in the Southwest was present. With a stroller, two children, and a cigarette. And we saw everything, except we didn't get a chance to get to go see the elephants. We missed out on that, which would have been Pamela's and my favorite part. But we saw all sorts of birds, and the little girl had a chance to ride a pony and to feed the birds, and we saw crocodiles with their mouths open, and we saw all sorts of African antelope, and we saw all sorts of apes. And I think my favorite part of the day was when little Isla, who will turn 3 in March, was with Pamela looking at one particular group of apes, and where she then turned around to Pamela after she had gazed at these apes for a few moments, and turned to her with a very serious look and said, "Why? That ape has a big purple bottom." You know, sometimes you've just got to tell it the way it is. You know, some things have big purple bottoms. And just looking around here, and if that's the case, you know, you just got to say it the way it is. Well, you know what? The structure in the Christian home is really, really important. And we've just got to tell it the way it is. As a matter of fact, the Bible thinks that the structure, that the order of the Christian home is so important that it takes 3 huge portions of Scripture to talk about it. 3, not just 1, not just 2, but 3. And when the Bible takes 3 huge portions to talk about a topic, then even a guy like me can get the point that this is important. As a matter of fact, Paul likes it so much that he talks about it twice. He talks about it in the book of Colossians that we are in presently and that we began to look at last week. And so in Colossians chapter 3, we find that Paul gives instructions for the Christian home beginning in chapter 3, verse 18, down through verse 21, where he gives a command to wives, he gives a command to husbands, he gives a command to children, and he gives a command to fathers. And so that's where we've encountered it. But Paul thinks it's so important that in the letter, which is frequently called the sister epistle of the book of Colossians, the letter to the Ephesians, Paul talks about it again and even gives it a little bit more airtime than he does in the book of Colossians. So in chapter 5 of Ephesians, he deals with it yet again, beginning in verse 22 all the way through verse 4 of chapter 6. What a huge portion to give to the order and structure, the relationships and the responsibilities that each member in the Christian home is to fulfill. But what fascinates me and impresses me even more than the fact that Paul deals with it twice, of course, he's the apostle to the Gentiles. He is known for his ministry to the non-Jews, and he is writing this to the non-Jews. And so it's impressive that the apostle to the Gentiles talks about it twice. But you know what? You've got to add to that the fact that the apostle to the Jews, Peter, also deals with it in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 3, where in chapter 3 and verse 1, by the way, if you're looking for 1 Peter, it's right before 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, he begins in verse 1 and works his way down all the way to verse 7, talking about the relationships, the responsibilities, the structure, and the order that should exist in the Christian home. And so in the same way in which every time you see an ape with a big purple bottom, you've got to say, it's got a big purple bottom. Every time you open the New Testament, you've got to say that the Christian home is a featured interest of both the apostle to the Jews and the apostle to the Gentiles, and you can't get away from it. And so this morning, as we continue to look together at Paul's teaching to the saints in the church of Colossae, I want us to leave the church of Colossae for just a moment and to hear what some of these other texts are saying in complement and in fulfillment to what Paul is saying to the Colossians. Would you turn with me then to Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul once again, in a letter which is the sister letter to the letter to the Colossians, begins to deal with the issue of the relationships and the responsibilities, the structures and the order of the Christian home. I want you to see that before he begins to talk about the Christian home in verse 1, and in which he then fills out specifically in verse, or the church in verse 1 of chapter 5, in which he specifically addresses to the home in verse 22, I want you to notice that before he commands the wives, as he does in Colossians, to submit to your husbands as to the Lord, I want you to look what he has commanded to the entire church in verse 21. Husbands particularly dislike this verse. Or shall I say, dysfunctional husbands particularly dislike verse 21. Or should I say, domineering husbands particularly dislike verse 21. Or shall I say, husbands who embitter their wives distinctly dislike verse 21. Because dysfunctional, embittering husbands like to reserve the command and the virtue of submission to the women in their home. But I want you to see what Paul tells the entire Ephesian community in verse 21 of chapter 5 of Ephesians. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If you think that the virtue of submission is a virtue which is distinctly and uniquely to be practiced by the wife in the home in relationship to her husband, banish that thought from your minds this morning. Because submission is a distinctly Christian virtue that is to be practiced by all of us in relationship to each of us. It is a Christian virtue that is to be practiced by all of us in relationship to each of us. All of us are to be submissive to each other. We are to be concerned about the needs of each other more than we are concerned about our own needs. We are to be concerned about what the other person requires rather than to be consumed with what we ourselves require. We are to lower ourselves and humiliate ourselves so that the other person might be lifted up and edified. Paul, before he ever begins to deal with the virtues of the Christian home, commands the entire community of Ephesus. And by extension, he is commanding the sunburst class. Be submissive. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission is a distinctive Christian virtue, not merely a distinctive wifely issue in relationship to her husband. As a matter of fact, it is not merely a distinctive human virtue. Come with me to the book of Philippians. The next book over from Ephesians, where in Philippians chapter 2, I want you to see how Paul begins in chapter 2 and verse 4 to the church of the Philippians. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself no thing. No thing. Made himself no thing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Notice that submission and subservience is not even a distinctive human virtue, but it's a virtue which the Lord God Jesus Christ himself practiced. As a matter of fact, his entire incarnation, his entire enfleshment, his entire becoming human is nothing more and nothing less than a demonstration, the epitome of the divine virtue of submission. God himself has submitted himself to you. He has humiliated himself for you. He has lowered himself for you. He did not consider equality with God in the sense that he had the prerogative to be served as God. As God, he has the prerogative to be served, to demand service, to command that he be worshipped, to instruct others to come to him and to humiliate themselves before him. That is the Son of God's prerogative. But instead of exercising that prerogative and commanding all simply to come to him and to humiliate themselves before him, he himself humiliated himself before us. Submission is a virtue which the entire church of Ephesians is to take on. We are to submit ourselves to each other. It is a virtue which the Son of God has taken on and by which he has lived a life of submission to our salvation and to our recapitulation. And we are to imitate him in that. In the Christian home, it is distinctly the wife in one sense and one sense only that is to embrace that Christian virtue in relationship to her husband. So notice, even after giving that command to the entire church of Ephesus in chapter 5 and verse 21. He then says, particularly in the home, wives are to embrace the virtue of submission to their husbands as to the Lord. When wives embrace this virtue, they are never more Christ-like. They are never closer to the attitude of Christ than when they submit in their homes to their husbands. And they can do this knowing that before they were asked to do it, before they were told to do it, Christ has already done it for them in their stead. And so submission, you understand, is something into which God Himself has entered. And a wife is never more like God than when she submits. Never more like Christ than when she submits. Notice, too, that the same command that comes in Colossians also comes to the husbands in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But notice that although the command to love is distinctly given to the husband, while Paul is talking about the structure and the relationships, the order of the Christian home, please notice in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Ephesians that before it distinctly goes to the husband to love, it has first of all, from the pen of Paul, gone out to the entire church at Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Please understand, wives, please understand, husbands, that the Christian home is not the only place in which a Christ-like love is to be practiced. The Christian marriage is not the only place in which a sacrificial, crucifix-type love is to be practiced. Although in the Christian home, Paul gives that command distinctly to the husband to love his wife in verse 25, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Please notice that in verse 1, you are, regardless of whether you are a male or a female, whether you are married or single, you are to, verse 2, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Here's the bad news. Doesn't matter whether you are married or whether you are single. If you are a divorced member of the Sunburst class this morning, I want you to hear very well. You, just as the wife and the husband, are obligated to love and to submit. If you are a person who has never been married, I want you to hear that along with the wife and the husband, you are obligated to practice and to make part of your very life the virtues of love and submission. I want you to know that if you are here this morning and your spouse does not attend, and your spouse is not part of your Christian worship with you, I want you to know that you are obligated to embrace while you are with us, even as you do at home, the Christian virtues of love and submission. You see, nobody gets to go home free. Although Paul talks about it in his instruction to wives and husbands, the virtues of love and submission are obligations for all of us who would call ourselves Christian. And a sacrificial type love, a love like unto that which was on the crucifix, on the cross, is the type of love that we are to demonstrate one unto the other. And so in a very real way, it is impossible for you to submit to your husband unless you love your husband. And it is impossible for you to love your wife unless you submit yourself to her, caring for her and her needs and her interests more than you care for yourself. I'm not a betting man, although I do cheat at Monopoly. I am willing to make this statement. If a man loves his wife as Christ loved the church, the virtue of submission, which is so hard for us to swallow, particularly in our own culture, the virtue of submission, which is even more difficult for us to swallow in a culture which has far too long allowed the embitterment of women in the home, within a culture that has even allowed the abuse of women in the home, where there is a cross-type love, a cross or incarnation type submission is usually of very little challenge. Whether you are a wife or whether you are a husband, whether you are a male or a female who is single or divorced, may I encourage you this week to find someone to submit yourself to. Find someone to submit yourself to and make a decision to submit yourself to that person's best. If you're here this morning and you don't have a spouse, find yourself someone to submit yourself to in giving up your interests for theirs as Christ did in his incarnation. And if you're someone here this morning who does not have a spouse, may I challenge you this morning to find someone to love. And someone to love as Christ loved the church in his crucifixion for her. The Christian home in which love and submission are present really is a Christian home in which these two virtues are two sides to the same coin. Look with me, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 5. For a moment. I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 3. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without talk by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. I want you to see that one of the corollaries that Peter has for the submission of wives in the home is a redemptive corollary. In other words, in the same way in which the humiliation of Jesus Christ in his incarnation draws people to him, Peter is teaching that the submission of the wife can very well be evangelistic. It too can be redemptive by demonstrating Christ's incarnation by virtue of her embracement of the virtue of submission. Wherever you submit, whether it be in this class to us or whether it be in your home to Him, you are declaring the incarnation and the humiliation and the crucifixion of Christ by virtue of your submission. And for Peter, this gives to the Christian virtue of submission a redemptive purpose. I want you to see also that in verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Peter here has in mind physical strength, the difference between the male and the female in physical strength. Because notice his next line, as the weaker partner and as co-heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Notice that although Peter emphasizes that the female is the physically weaker member of the partnership, that she is not weak in comparison to the degree that she shares redemptive eternal life. Whereas she might be physically weaker, and I grant that there are some women who are much stronger than some men, particularly when it comes to bearing pain. And so the point here is that in general, the female of the species is physically weaker, but Paul says that on one case in order to heighten his next statement. Although in general they might not be as physically strong as the male, notice, they are co-heirs with him in the gift of life. And so notice what the responsibility of the husband is in light of the fact that she is his co-heir. Did you catch it? So that nothing will hinder his prayer. Notice what he is to do. Live with them in respect, or some translations actually have a more literal word, honor them. Honor them as co-heirs in the gift of life. Wow. Interesting. On the one hand, the women, the wives, are commanded to submit, and yet the husbands are commanded to honor. Now, fellas, hold on to your seat here, because I want you to come back with me to chapter 2. And to verse 17 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, where that word occurs two other times. Show proper respect to everyone. So in the same way in which you are to honor your wife, you are to honor everyone. But notice specifically the person to whom the command of honor is supposed to be paid. Show respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the king. That word honor is the same word which occurs in chapter 3 as respect. In other words, husbands, you are to honor your wives with the same degree of respect that you would give to a king. Or in an American setting, to the same degree that you would give the president, which you liked. Philosophically, it should be the office. Here's the point. Gentlemen, your wives deserve in your home to be treated like queens. You are to honor and you are to respect them as if they were queens. That's how you're to love them. And ladies, your husbands have been given the command to love you, but you have been given the command to submit to them. Every Christian home works where the husband is honoring his wife as he would the king. The Christian home works where the husband is loving his wife as Christ sacrificially gave himself for the church. The Christian home works where the wife is submitting herself to her husband in the same way in which Christ humiliated himself for us in his incarnation. The Sunburst class works when we come in here together and where we submit ourselves to each other with the same humiliation that Christ embraced in his incarnation. And the Sunburst class works where we love each other as Christ loved the church. And the Sunburst class works where we honor each other with the same degree of respect with which we would honor a king. These are two virtues which are central to the Christian life for every man and every woman. I pray that the virtues of submission and the virtue of love and the virtue of honor would be what people ring out in these halls when they talk about the relationships which the Sunburst class has to each of its members, and what they sing in these halls when they speak about our marriages. Love, honor, submit. And so, Father, we call upon you because we need the help of your Holy Spirit. We have no chance of being Christ-like without the power of your Spirit. And so I plead with you that he would birth within me the virtue of love, the virtue of honor, the virtue of submission. And I pray that he would birth within the members of this class the virtues of love, the virtues of submission, and the virtues of honor. Would the Spirit rise up in our hearts, and would he dispense his empowerment within us? And would he develop us into Christians who exemplify these virtues? I ask it through Christ and by the Spirit. Amen.